doing. Hmm? Okay. I want to open with a few strange facts about the bracha after Kriyas Megillah. If you look at the first makor here, the Shulchan Aruch says in the siman about the bracha Megillah, Tafresh Sadi Beis, Ulacharei Nogin Levarach Abramus Ruvenu v'chuli v'chuli. Right? Everyone knows you make the bracha after laying Megillah. Lo Birchol Lepenev Lo Lacharei Lo Yatsa Hagav Nogin Lo Mvlai Lasherhenia V'lo Vayom. The very end of the first makor, the Ramah quotes Ein Levarach Achareha Ela B'tzibur, a din that is not found anywhere in the Talmud Bavli. That the din of making a bracha after Megillah isn't the Talmud Bavli. But the din, this chiluk in Yachid and Sibur, is not found anywhere in our Shas. That bracha after Megillah reading only applies if you have a minyan. So what's the makor? So the Bir Halacha here quotes the makor. Number two, Elevat Sibur, Hine Veis Yosef Kasav, the Orchas Chaim Kasav Kane Veshem Yushalmi. That's basically it. That's the Veis Yosef. Not much more than Veis Yosef than that. The Orchas Chaim quoted from Yushalmi. That the bracha after Megillah laning is only Bit Sibur. Reasonable enough. But Ayin, however, the Elio Rabba pointed out that many Rishonim implied that you should say the Bracha Rebbe Shirvein Vein B'Yachid Vein B'Tzibur against this Orchas Chaim based on Yerushalmi. Oh, it's Yerushalmi. How can anyone go against Yerushalmi? He says, V'ayin Vera Grotim Yerushalmi Gankin Raya. The Bir Agra says, Yerushalmi never said anything of the sort. We have this din, it's Halacha Pesuka. Every child of three knows the Mefurish Ramah. You only say a Rabbis Ruvenu with a minion. Why? It's a Yerushalmi. The Bir Agra says, but it's not a Yerushalmi. The Loka Yala Birza Torah. The Yerushalmi doesn't say anything about Bracha Rabbis Ruvenu. The Yerushalmi is talking about something else entirely, about Birza Torah. So here we have a Halacha Pesuka from the Yerushalmi. Don't say a Rabbis Ruvenu B'Yachid. And the Bir Agra said the Yerushalmi wasn't talking about a Rabbis Ruvenu at all. The Yerushalmi is talking about something else. So, okay, in the end, the Bir Halacha decides we should follow this Ramah anyway, but let's figure out who's writing the Yerushalmi. Number three, Taka, what does the Yerushalmi say? What the Orchas Chaim, the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah say the Yerushalmi says? Or is the Bra right? The Yerushalmi never said it. So, the Yerushalmi says, number three, Ketzad Mevarachali. Zakai Tabachim Shem Rav Yochanan Ravis Ridecha. Okay, they have a slightly different second person instead of first person, but otherwise the same idea. Ravis Ridecha, no kemis ne pasecha, goel chav moshiach and kacha ritzecha, ad kedom basot. That's the bracha afterwards. Vetchila, harei kishar komis v'sechal Torah, ma'ashar komis v'tunis bracha, zutu na bracha. Okay, that's the parallel in the Bavli. Before Megillah, obviously you have to make a bracha. Asher kishar mizol zibanu, it's a mitzvah tasei. Afterwards, you have the special bracha, Ravis Ridecha. The Yerushalmi continues to say, "Kasev b'Torah brachah levanav and kasev brachah lachreal. Ma kasev levanav b'shem Hashem akrav v'gadol elokeinu. Kasev b'mazon brachah lachrav and kasev brachah lefanav. Ma kasev liachrav v'chasad v'erachta v'gomer." Right, the Yerushalmi pointed out there's only two brachos that are midah oraisa. Right, famous trivia question: two brachos that are midah oraisa. So it's right here in the Yerushalmi. Birkas haTorah ki shem Hashem akrav v'gadol elokeinu, which the Ramban assumes like the Yerushalmi is really midah oraisa. And Birkas HaMazon, that's straight out of the Purush Rukuli Alma, V'yachal T'vasavah Tov Erachta. The Yerushalmi points out that Midoraisa, you only have to make a bracha before Torah and after food. So the Yerushalmi continues, V'nayin leads in Sarmashel Zeva Zeva, Sarmashel Zeva Zeva. How do we know that you make a bracha after Torah, just like after food? How do you know you make a bracha before food, just like before Torah? And I skipped a few lines, but it's just a drasha from the Pesukim. How do we know we make a bracha before we eat and after we eat, and before we Lane Torah and after we lane Torah. The Yerushalmi continues, Amr of Shmuel bar Avudma. Lom du Birkas HaTorah mi Birkas HaMazon. Elo l'rabim. We only learn Birkas HaTorah from benching. Let's remember what we learned about Torah from benching. Just like you bench after you eat, you make a bracha after you learn. We only learn the bracha after Torah b'rabim. In Larabma, feel be no by Atmin Lavar, Hammer, Mar, Athmin, also Sharkin was to a Sharkin was to a Sprach of Zutana Bracha. So, it's not 100% clear what the Yerushalmi is trying to say, but the Chorah the Yerushalmi is saying, what do you mean? Larabma means a Yachid doesn't make Birkas HaTorah. They say, no, a Yachid is like all mitzvahs. all mitzvos make a bracha beforehand, so a yachid makes a bracha before Torah. The rabbin learned from benching to make a bracha before and after Torah. Is that true? What it says in Yerushalmi, what we do? Yeah. You, a yachid, you learn Torah. You get up in the morning, you say a bracha first. You don't say a bracha afterwards. But berabin, Talmud Torah shebechsav berabin, it's called laning. Right? So we have laning. So in laning, which is Talmud Torah derabin, you make a bracha before the aliyah and after the aliyah. Wonderful Yerushalmi. Now, this is the Yerushalmi they're arguing about. And Taka, it's straight out that the Gra is right. Yeah, the Yerushalmi does say you only have the bracha after his berabin. But the Yerushalmi is clearly talking about laning. Torah, which is a Muslim laning. The Yerushalmi is not talking about Megillah. Well, what's the Gra is, I mean, probably doesn't surprise us. You know, if we had seen the lineup here, we would have guessed that if the Gra is giving Pshat and Yerushalmi, then he's probably accurate. The Gra is absolutely right. The Yerushalmi only says a minyan for a bracha after laning. Then that comes after the part about Haravas Rivenu. But it's not a. It's just coincidentally, after Haravas Rivenu, they get into another topic. But the Yerushalmi never said anything about a minyan for Haravas Rivenu. So that's Akasha. Right? And the Beis Yosef quoted the Yochas Chaim said, the Yerushalmi did say it. So, I mean, the Yochas Chaim wouldn't say something completely ridiculous. So what was the Yochas Chaim thinking? If the Gra is right, the Yerushalmi never said you need a minyan for Haravas Rivenu, then why do we paskin that you need a minyan for Haravas Rivenu? It's not in the Yerushalmi. Question one. Question two. This Svara. What's the Svara? Why should you need a minyan for the bracha of Haravas Rivenu? So that's not a difficult question. I mean, obviously, anyone who writes Paris in the Shulchan Aruch is going to wonder about that question. Taka, why should you need a minyan for a Rav Shvitenu? And it's not so hard to figure out what the Aruch HaShulchan would have said, that what is about Kriyas Megillah, a phrase we use all the time that seems to imply that there'd be something good about having a minyan. What's Megillah all about? Pesumei Nisa, so look at the Aruch HaShulchan, number four, the Kasa Ravinu HaRamah. De Bracha Shalach Reinu El Betzibar Ad Kan Lashono of the Ramah. Number four. The Yeshlam are Tam, so what's the Tam? Chem de Neshaychlam Gila, the Birk Zoda. The Bracha is not about the Gila, it's a Birk Zoda. Haravas Rivenu, etc. We should pursue Nisa. So why we say this Bracha of Haravas Rivenu? Because of pursuing Nisa. So it makes sense when this can a little bit Zibur. She's Pirsum below the Yachid. We know every person remembers for themselves that some Indian are pursuing Nisa, right? If I'm on a desert island, I still light Hanukkah candles, still go pursuing Nisa. But a real Pirsum Nisa, Pirsum, the word pirsa means to publicize. You need a public. So the real pursuing Nisa, the real Madrega pursuing Nisa is Bitsibur. So then the Chashon doesn't make perfect sense. Why do we only say a rubbish Rivenu with a minyan? Because then you have a real pirsum. Now let me ask you a very simple question. What if, right, I'm sure we're going to do it in the Gros Kola. Right, we're going to lay in Megillah Sunday night. Everyone will come Sunday night. But we're Bnei Torah, we're not going to bring crying babies and interfere with the Megillah, so the wives will stay home. The women are also chayvim for Megillah. So no problem. Afterwards, the auxiliary, Valkore, whoever, will lane again later in someone's apartment, then all the women will get together. That's what we're going to do? Istama. I hope so. Okay. So there'll just be one man laying in the Megillah, and there'll for sure be 10 women. So logically, should those 10 women say the bracha of Haravas Rivenu? Like, should they count as a minion? Should they say Haravas Rivenu based on this logic? For sure. I mean, pursuing Nisa, right? It has nothing to do with, we're not getting into philosophy or Ashkafa or liberalism here, right? Pursuing Nisa, right? Men learn about the Nais, and women learn about the Nais. L'chora, they're no different. Men and women, they both learn about the Nais. So, of course, 10 women should say Haravas Rivenu. That's what the poskim say. It's very logical. If it's logical, that's what the poskim are going to say. Number five, I typed in the Piskei Tshuvos here. The Ramah says in the Varcha Chorel of Tzibra and the Shulchan Aruch Batam. The Kavim Shein Abrach Sheyach Lamegel Leibir Zodom Yishev Pirsum in Yisa Lo Nitzkan El Tzibra Sheish Pirsum Lo Biyachid. That's a quarter of the Aruch Hashulchan. Ulefikach and Son Yachin Asar Noshim Hashem Oskriyas Megillah Shedina Tzibra Leibir Pirsum in Yisa Yichol Zvarcha Chorel. Therefore, you have 10 women. They also make the bracha afterwards. Who does he quote this from? Mikrei Kodesh of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Sefer Kol Purim Shuyos by Rav Dablitsky and quoting the Mishnah Derusa and others. But then he ends with a strange minute. Well, guess we'll see Sunday night what happens. But it was safer, Alichos Bas Yisrael, the end of number five, Perakot Beis, if Yudalikos, if Shaminak She'enem Avarchos, Aplok She'esh Yisrael Nashim. Even though the poskim all say logically, 10 women should say Haravas Rivenu, that's logically. That's the poskim. But for some reason, the minhag—I don't know. Sure, there's women all over the world, and different places have different minhagim. Some places I've been, that they've had the same minhag according to the Lichos Bas Yisrael. The minhag apparently is, at least where the Lichos Bas Yisrael lived, and I think a lot of places, that 10 women don't say a Rabbis Rivenu. So the question is, why not? Right? Is this just a minhag of Amaratzos because the women don't know the halachas properly and they don't understand the Aruch HaShulchan, so they make a mistake? Or no? Rav certainly, whenever there was a minhag, tried to find some justification. That's really the minhag. That Chashava Rebetzins, when they get together and 10 of them hear the Megillah, they don't say Rav Shredenu, then we think there should be a Svara for it. But what's the Svara? Of course 10 women understand about the Nase. Of course there's a Persuminisa for 10 women. There's a lot of 10 people, a lot of Persuminisa. So what's the Svara? Why they would have the minhag not to make a bracha? That's the second question. So I want to learn a little about what the Etzem, the Mitzvah, Mikra, Megillah is all about, and then hopefully by the time we finish learning, the answer to these questions will be very, very clear. It all starts with the Brisker Rav in his Chivur on Maseches, on Hilchos Megillah. But it really all starts in the Gemara in Daf Zayin. It's interesting about Megillah's Esther. How many halachic things is Megillus Esther? How many halachic statuses does Megillus Esther have? I bring a Megillus Esther, put it down right half. Number one, what is it kosher for? You need it to be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, right? If you read the Megillah Baal Peh, you're not Yotzei. So it's a chepsha shel mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Is it anything else halachically? I mean, is it like a shofar or a lulav, chepsha shel mitzvah? Or is it something else also? It's a sefer, right? Not we use a sefer. A sefer, it's one of the Chaf Dalet Sefer Tanakh. It's a sefer of Tanakh. So, what's the relationship between those? Is the fact that we use this Megillah, it's a chetzah shel mitzvah mikra Megillah, related to it being a sefer of Tanakh? Or is it coincidental that it's a sefer of Tanakh? Okay, well, to answer that question, the Brisker Rav says, first, we should start questioning our assumptions. Is Megillas Esther safer of Tanakh? So, don't misquote me here. Abad Megillas Esther is safer of Tanakh, and Erechof, Dalet Sfarim have been Sfarim of Tanakh for the last 2,000 years, are still Sfarim of Tanakh. But it wasn't always so pashut. By now, it's pretty pashut. It wasn't always so pashut. The Gemara says, number 6, Sachs Megillah, Dav Zayin, Amar Ibn Rosh Shmuel, Esther ain't Matamas Yadayin. He says, Megillas Esther is not Matamas Yadayin. We know that Thomas Yadayin is the litmus test halachically. That if you touch it, your yadayim become tamei. That's the litmus test of being one of the Kisvei HaKodesh. Okay, you might say that's a little strange. The litmus test for being one of the holy books of our religion is that it makes you tamei. So, okay, you wouldn't be the first to have said that. The Tzedukim also had that ha'aron of sechus yadayim. We explained that no, that sometimes something's metame you, it's because it's so precious that we want you to be extra careful with it. After all, human bones are metame and animal bones are not. Something so precious, you want to have extra zahira, so you make sure that you don't touch it improperly. Likewise, these, Chavdal and Sifrei Kodesh, they used to leave it next to Truma and other holy things, and the mice would come and eat the Truma, which is okay. I mean, Zechutam, that's part of life. They would also eat the Kisvei Kodesh, which is not Zechutam. And so they said to be extra careful, we'll make some Tuma. You don't keep it next to your Truma, so it'll make your hands come in. And that way, you put it someplace not near any Shroom or Kachim or etc., and it would be protected from mice. There's always a method to the madness. So, Lamaisa though, Tumas Yadayim is a litmus test of being part of Tanakh. Is Esther canonical or not? So the Gemara says, the main witness of Shmuel, Esther lab Baruch HaKodesh Demar, I'm Shmuel has Baruch HaKodesh Demar. What are you talking about? Shmuel thinks Esther wasn't written Baruch HaKodesh? He thinks it was just, I don't know, some book? No, Shmuel himself has said it was written. He doesn't admit. He's the one who came out and declared that it was Baruch HaKodesh. It says, Nemr Likros lo Nemr Lichtav. No. It was said Baruch HaKodesh to read, but not to write. So what does this mean? Rashi takes a Shitas Yachid here. Rashi says in number 7, says it a little later, that Alibud of Yeshua, the second line of 7, on Gil, on Likos, on Gors, al Pev Likrosa. He says, maybe according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua, Megillas Esther, you're supposed to read Baal Peh. It was never intended to be written. Shmuel holds you don't write Megillas Esther. That's very radical. Tosos and all the Rishonim jump on him, says, can't be. It's a halacha that we darshan from the words, yichsavam, yichizmanam. Of course you're not yotzei migilas Esther baal peh. So what do they say? They say something more lumdish. Tosa says, the Ritva says just very succinctly and directly, number 8, the Yishlom and Shmuel Halkin Kamer, so nitna licht likasei b'chlal sifrei HaKodesh ate kemos l'tanis yadayim. Avol b'kamakam nitna likasei shlote al peh, akor al peh lo yatsa. The Ritva says, and this is the mainstream pshan and Shmuel. Shmuel holds it wasn't nitna likasei, it wasn't said b'ruch HaKodesh to write as a sefer of Tanakh. It's not part of Tanakh. But it was said b'ruch HaKodesh to write as a chefta shel mitzvah of Rishmei Nisa of Mikra Megillah. Just like a shofar is a chefta shel mitzvah, and it has to be a physical thing, and a lulav has to be a physical chefta shel mitzvah, and a sukkah has to be a physical chefta shel mitzvah. So Megillah's Esther was told Baruch HaKodesh to write it as a chefta shel mitzvah for Rishmei Nisa every year in Purim, but not to write it as a book of Tanakh. So the brisker Rav takes the Shmuel and says, oh, we see from Shmuel holds Aliyah to the Ritva, Tosos, and Rav Rishonim. Shmuel holds it's not part of Tanakh at all. It is not Kisvei HaKodesh. It's not Torah Shebichsav. It's just a Chetzah Shal Mitzvah of Pursuming Nisa. It's like a Sukkah. It's like a Lulav. It has to be there. It has to be physically there and be written. But it has nothing to do with status as part of Torah. It's just the Mitzvah of, that's the Chetzah of the Mitzvah of Pursuming Nisa and Purim. Just like the Chanukah Menorah. That's the brisker Rav. So the brisker Rav says, we see from this that Shmuel holds it's not part of Tanakh. We hold Taka is part of Tanakh. But Shmuel's still right. Shmuel says the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah has nothing to do with being part of Tanakh. V'harai, it's not part of Tanakh. So we hold it is part of Tanakh, but we still agree with Shmuel. The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah has nothing to do with being part of Tanakh. Coincidentally, we say it's one of the books of Tanakh. But the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is not to read a book of Tanakh. It's not to learn Tanakh. The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is to read a chetzah shel mitzvah of the story of Rishmei Nisa of Purim, having nothing to do with whether or not it's a book of Tanakh. Thereby, the Brisker Rav explained many strange things about the Rambam. The Brisker Rav said, for example, Diyukin. Anyone know some halachas about how the Megillah has to be written? Any special ways we write some parts? Saras ben Haman, right? You have to write them, right? Ariach, Gabi Ariach, Gabi Gabi Levena, right? You have to write them in two columns, all the S's and all the names, Vichuli, and the Vav of Vaizasa, right? You have to make a long Vav for Vaizasa to show that we're all hung on a big gallows, one under the other, Vichuli, Vichuli, Vichuli. The Rambam never brings down these halachas. Never brings it down. So the Brisker Rav says, why not? Says, easy. As part of the Kisvei HaKodesh, if you want to write a book of Esther and have it Metameis Yadayim, have it count as a book of Tanakh, then it's got to be written Alpi Masorah. Parsha Psucha has to be Psucha, and a Parsha Stuma has to be Stuma, and the sons of Haman have to be in two columns, and the Vav Vaizos has to be long. That's part of the Masorah. Same way as Oz Yashra has to be written the right way. In the same way as the Lamed Shiras Lamed Aleph Melachim and Yoshua has to be written the right way. In the same way as every other, right, the Aleph and Vayikra, Moshe, small, there's a Masorah of how to write Tanakh. The Brisker Rav says, but that has nothing to do with Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is not about reading a book of Tanakh. Coincidentally, it's a book of Tanakh. Mikra Megillah is about reading from the Chetza of the Mitzvah of Purim, from a Chetza of the story of Rishmei Nisa of Mordechai and Esther. And therefore, he said, the Rambam left this out because you can write it however you want. You can write it straight through without paragraph breaks, without the proper form, without the proper size vav. As long as you write it, you don't even have to write all of it. You don't say b'di'evit, as long as you write most of it. As long as the story is written there, it might not be Kisvei HaKodesh. It might not be a book of Tanakh if you don't write it properly. It won't be Nehamas HaYadayim, but it'll still be a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah for Mikra Megillah. Because Mikra Megillah has nothing to do with Tanakh. It's coincidence. That's how the Brisker Rav explained. Why did the Rambam not bring down in Hilchos Purim that you have to write the Megillah with the S's and the sons of Haman? Because you don't. You have to write it that way if you want to write Tanakh. So look in Hilchos Sefer Torah and extend and make yourself a sushtel. But to be Yotzei Megillah, you don't have to write it the right way. As long as the story is there, it's a chefs of a book of the story of Mordechai and Esther. He had another din that he explained this way. says Ibud Lashma, the Rambam says that you don't need Ibud Lashma for Megillas Esther, meaning you don't need to tan the hides. Tanning is, I'm not exactly sure how to tan. If you asked me to tan something, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. But what it means is, we've all seen a cow has skin. We've all seen like a Sefer Torah or other things that's made of the same thing, but it looks a lot nicer somehow. So tanning is they put in all the chemicals and make it into the very nice type of cloth for writing on, which I'm not sure what chemicals they are, but they seem to work. So you have to do Ibud Lashma. Rambam says you don't need Ibud Lashma for Megillah. Rav Gruff says, why not? He says, easy. Ibud Lashma is if you want it to be a Kedusha, Kisvei HaKodesh. In Hilchas Megillah, you don't need Kisvei HaKodesh. It's irrelevant whether or not it's Kisvei HaKodesh. Taka, you can have a book that was, the cloth was made not Lashma, that's not Kodesh. It's not Kisvei HaKodesh, but that's fine. Since the Chafetz Shal Mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, just like Shmuel said, you can have a Chafetz Shal Mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah with no Kedusha. Likewise, we say, if you want to write it in a nice way and do all the proper requirements to make it Kodesh, wonderful. If not, that's fine. It doesn't have to be Kisvei HaKodesh. It just has to be the Chafetz Shal Mitzvah of Megillas Esther. Ad Kan is the Brisker Rav, before we get into the details.
According to this, you need a cloth.
According to this, excellent. According to this, you shouldn't even need cloth. Good. Okay, so let's go ahead of ourselves for a moment. According to this, you logically shouldn't even need cloth. You want to make any other suggestions as to what we shouldn't need according to the Brisker Rav? What else shouldn't we need? If it just has to be the story of Haman and Mordechai and Esther and Achashverosh and Achetza of Prishim and Nisa, and it doesn't have to be the real book of Tanakh, you shouldn't need cloth. What else might you think we don't need? What? Okay, hold that thought.
Hebrew.
You shouldn't need Hebrew. Why should it have to be in Hebrew as long as the story? What else shouldn't you need? Goes with cloth?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You might not need Tziva Lishma. And Dyo. You shouldn't need Dyo. So Taka, what do we find in these things? So the Brisker Rav, I mean, you were just mechavin to like the whole page of the Brisker Rav. This is where he got all his rayas from. So let's look at the Brisker Rav's rayas before we see whether he might be wrong or he might be able to say otherwise. If you go to the other side of the page, let's start with Jeff's cloth and Jeremy's Joe. The Gemara says in number 17, "Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Ad Shneksuva Ashuris Tefsir Kesham Mechazman." And we'll come back to that. Ala Sefer Video has written Sefer is what we when they say Sefer, what they mean is cloth. It has to be written on the proper whatever the exact English word is for cloth. We all know what cloth is. And that's written with Gyo, with the proper black ink. Minolan, as yet siva ksiva ksiv hachava tiflu vester amalka uvsev hatsama yomelem baruch mikivi kari lais kolad var meilev anikosim el sefer vidyo. How do we know you need sefer Gyo? From a gzera shav, over here it says vatichto vester amalka. Over there by baruch. What was baruch agav? Alpi Torah Shabal Pet. How do we interpret this? What was baruch writing and who was dictating it to him? He was writing what? He was writing Kinos, Megillas Eicha, and they were dictated by Yirmiyah. So that's how we interpret this, whatever it was. You take Shudas from Mikra. It's basically the same idea. He's writing something very, very negative about Korban and punishment for all the unfortunate Averos of Bais Rishon. Mipi Yirmiyah. He was writing Allah Sefer Vidyo, so just like that needs Sefer Vidyo, this needs Sefer Vidyo. So the Brisker Rav asked the question. He says, why do we need a Gzera Shava of Sefer Udyo for Megillas Esther? Why not just say, all Kisvei HaKodesh need Sefer Udyo? Why do you need a Gzera Shava? It should be a Svara that you need Sefer Udyo. Because do we have a Gzera Shava that, well, Eicha is in the Pasuk. And how about Koheles? How about Shmuel? Do we have a Gzera Shava that Shmuel needs Sefer Udyo? That Yechezkel needs Sefer Udyo? No, but yet we have one downstairs. We have Shmuel. Okay. So the answer is all Kisvei HaKodesh is Sefer Udyo Misvara. That's the definition of Kisvei HaKodesh. So the Brisker Rav says, why do you need a Gzera Shava to require Sefer Udyo for Esther? Why not say it's obvious and part of Kisvei HaKodesh? So the Brisker Rav says the answer is Pashut. If you want to write a Megillas Esther and have it be part of Kisvei HaKodesh, and the Chanami is a Svara, you need Sefer Udyo. Yeah, you want it to be Mitamei Sheyadayim, you want it to have the Kedusha of Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. For that, you can say for Dio. But if you just want to use it as a Chetzah Shal Mitzvah for Purim, you wouldn't have thought you need to say for Dio Svara. That's why you need a Gzeira Shava to teach you that Misvara you need Sefer Dio for Kisvei HaKodesh. Misvara you don't need Sefer Dio for Purim. That's a separate Chafshishal Mitzvah. That's why you have a special Gzeira Shava to teach you. You even need Sefer Dio for the Chafshishal Mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. That's why it's not a Svara. You need the Gzeira Shava because it's not a din of Kisvei HaKodesh. It's a separate din. So that's why you wouldn't have thought you need Sefer Dio. But the Gzeira Sakasov comes and teaches you. Likewise, who's the one who said Hebrew? You also said Hebrew. Still on the show. What about Hebrew? So Taka, what is the Hebrew? This is the famous Kasha of Tosfos. If you look, stay on the second side. The Gemara number 12 says, Usvarim t'chav mechaloshim v'chuli remenim mikro shukol zov v'targum targum shil mikro v'ksav izri and time shil nai shil fin v'ksav shuris al sefer yo el lokasha kam megila kam usvarim megila my time shil chasam mechoshonim etc. The Gemara says, oh, you need to write in the right language. It says that's talking about Megillah. Megillah is only metamis yadayim if you write it in Hebrew. Actually, the Gemara says there's a few loan words from Aramaic in there, so you have to write them in the original language, whatever the word was, right? If Pisgam was really an Aramaic word, you have to keep that as Aramaic. If, you know, Vayomer Melcha Chashverosh was obviously Hebrew, you have to keep that as Hebrew. You have to write the original, we'll just call it Hebrew. You have to write Esther in the original, or else it's not Matamis Yodayim. That's the context. But the Gemara, the Tosfos asks the Kasha, based on the Gemara in 13. Gemara in 13 says, you're allowed to read it to foreigners in foreign languages. You can be Yotze Megillah in English. Nowadays, many is not. We'll see why. It says you can't be Yotze in English. Giftis, Ivris, Ilmas, Madis, Yuvanis, Lo Yotze. Holodam, Yiloha, Giftis, the Gift, Ivris, Ivri, Ilman, Ilman, Yuvanis, Vanim, Yotze. So the Gemara says, no problems, a stira. First, says you read it in, I don't even know what these languages are. Greek, I recognize Greek in there. You read it in Greek, English, French, Spanish, Swahili, you're not Yotze. Says that, but if you're an Englishman and you read it in English, then you are Yotze. A Frenchman who reads it in French is Yotze v'chule. Okay, so you're Yotze if you speak that foreign language. You're Yotze if you read it in a foreign language. So Tosfos is Akasha number 14 on Daf Ches. Achi yichtov asheres al sefer yo l'kam mokla megillah. Megillah is only Matanasi Yadayan if it's Ashuris. The Kasha Dharmina Parashani gift is the gift in Ilmas Lilam Yatza. My Vada should cause most of the Lashon Kori, but Loki and Avakor al Peh, the Lo Yatza. Being Kikasha, Milo Matanasi Yadayan, Kishan Nitna Likros, we cause of Kaloshan Shema Kirin Ba. Okay, the one assumption in there that you could question, but most people don't. Tosfos it's the Sira. We just said it has no Kedusha, it's not Matanasi Yadayan if it's written in foreign languages. But you can be Yotze if it's written in foreign languages. If I write a Megillah in French, right? If I began, right? You write Megillah in French. It's not the Thomas Yadayim. It's not Kadosh. All the French people can be Yotze. How do you say it's not the Thomas Yadayim, but you can be Yotze? So it says, and don't say it. They're only Yotze if it's written in Hebrew and they read it in French. So then that's Baal Peh. So the Brisker Rav answers this, and he thinks this is really what Tulsa is getting the answer. The Brisker Rav says, for me, it's not Akasha in the first place. Like you already know it's not Akasha for the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav says you're mixing apples and oranges. If you want to know is it Kisvei HaKodesh, then the answer is no. French Megillah is not Kisvei HaKodesh. But that has nothing to do with the question of being Yotze. It's not Kisvei HaKodesh, but is it a Hefter Shal Mitzvah for Kriyas Megillah? Yes, that it is. It's no steer in the, it's not even a steer in the first place. It's not even a question. The Brisker Rav says, it's not even Kasha, oh, how can you be Yotze Megillah if it's not Matanis Yadayim? The answer is two different in Yanin. It's not Kisvei HaKodesh in French or English or Swahili. It's not Matanis Yadayim. But it is a Hefter Shal Mitzvah, Megillah's Esther. Because that's a totally different Inyan, like we learned from Shmuel. That's all the Brisker Rav's Raya's. I think we read all the Brisker Rav's Raya's. So that's the Brisker Rav. Now, just a chazan for a second. The Brisker Rav, you can look up inside. It's in the Chibur on the Rambam. Hilchos Megillah, I think it's the first piece there. Brisker Rav's basic finish is that the chesa shel mitzvahs mikra Megillah
has nothing to do with the status of Kisei HaKodesh. What were his rayas? Shmuel says it's not Kisei HaKodesh, so obviously it has nothing to do with being Kisei HaKodesh. Two, the Rambam omits the Masorah of Tzuras HaKsiva in Hilchos Megillah, says, you don't need to write it the right way, it doesn't have to be Kisei HaKodesh. Three, the Rambam says you don't need Ibud L'shma. Four, he says, Sefer Udyo, you need a special Zeres HaKasso to require Sefer Udyo for Mikra Megillah. It's not a Svara. Why is it not a Svara? Because it doesn't have to be Kisei HaKodesh. And five, that La'az is Eino Mitame Es HaYodayim, but Yotzimba Yidei Kovas Mikra Megillah. Right? You can use it as a Cheptishal Mitzvah Mikra Megillah. It's considered Mikra Megillah with a Ksav, even though it's not Mitame Es HaYodayim. It's not Kisei HaKodesh. Wonderful. That's the Brisker Rav. However, the Rav is quoted in the Masorah Journal, and I think in Harei Kedem, all the Svarim quote the Rav, and also Talmud the Brisker Rav, Shtermach the Modem Itzmanin, totally disagreed with the Brisker Rav here. Shtermach goes point by point, the Rav doesn't mention the Brisker Rav. Shtermach goes point by point, refutation of the Brisker Rav. The Rav says, the Rav more just develops his own rayas. Shtermach is busy being docha. The Brisker Rav's eyes, the Rav is busy building his Marechet. He says totally wrong. The Rav says, the mitzvah, it's not coincidence. The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is davka mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Although Talmud Torah is maybe not so mitzvah, right? Someone's smiling here. It's not an uncharacteristic thing for the Rav to say, perhaps. Although it wouldn't have been uncharacteristic for his uncle either. But the davka, maybe I shouldn't say Limud Torah, or Limud Navi, Limud Ksuvim, but that's also Tanakh. The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, it's not coincidence that Mikra Megillah is a book of Tanakh. And that it's a mitzvah of Leinen on Purim? No, the mitzvah of Megillah is davka, a mitzvah of Limud Tanakh. It's davka, a mitzvah to learn one whole book of Tanakh. That's the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Mikra Megillah. What is he? Well, before we figure out what he does, you can always get out of someone's rayas. But you have to have a good reason for saying what you want to say in the first place, right? Not just the Rebbe's experimenting, fooling around, saying, well, can I get out of my uncle's rayas? Which, again, he wasn't even Osik yet. Why did the Rebbe think this was true? He had quite a few real knockout rayas. Go back to the first side of the page. Number 9. Already it's striking. After all, I'll ask you. Right? Pretend you had never been in Eretz Yisrael before. Right? When you lived in America. Does it make sense to say that Mikra Megillah, Megillas Esther, is the same as just learning to say for Tanakh? Is there anything in common with what we do when we lay Megillas Esther to what we do when we learn books of Ksuvim? Right? You'd say no. Right? What's, you have Megillas Esther. It's a whole formal ritual, right? You get together and you say a bracha and you lay it for a cloth. It's a whole fancy ritual. Learning Torah, learning books of Tanakh is just, I don't know, you open up Das Mikra or Mikros Gedol or something, you read through Kohelis or something. Right? It doesn't look like it's necessarily related. But now that you're in Eretz Yisrael, you know that what's the minhag in Eretz Yisrael? Is there anything special about Megillas Esther in Eretz Yisrael? What? They always. Okay, I mean among the Kilos HaPrushim Eretz Yisrael. I don't mean every single place in Eretz Yisrael. Among the Kilos HaPrushim is what they call, right, the old Litvish Misnagdish Minhag communities in Eretz Yisrael, which are founded, as we know, in the history of the early, you know, pre-Zionism, whatever you call it, the Talmidim of the Gro came here, right? And the Kilos HaPrushim Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure that's our Minhag here as well.
It's our minute here as well. That, is there anything different? What? In Esther, we get together and shul, we open up a cloth, we say a bracha. Is there anything unique about that? What do we do for Kohelas? Rosh, Shir, Shir, Eicha? Do the exact same thing. So we do it with all Ksuvim. Where do we get that from? The Gemara didn't make it up. He just opened up a Sefer Sofrim and read what was written there. Number 9, a Sefer Sofrim, beginning of the 14th parak. Berus, Mashir, Shir, Mekohelas, Be'echam, Megillas, Esther. So it's Lamarich. Whenever you lay in one of these books of Ksuvim, you have to make a bracha before him. You lay him from a cloth, then you make a bracha before him, like they do in Kilos Aprushim and Tzisrael. Megillas, Esther isn't even unique. The Lomar, Al Mikra Megillah. Yeah, we say Al Mikra Megillah by all these things. The Avval Pishik Suvbuk Suvim. And it's all the same for all five of these. Makes no difference. The Bodley deals with the details of this. Makes no difference if it's written with the other Suvim, it's written with its own cloth. Avakorbik Suvim. And what if Taka, you're laning other Suvim? Right? You decide to get together and lane other Suvim. You have a sacred Daniel and you decide to lane that. Same basic idea, just a different word. So instead of saying I'm like a Megillah, you say Ksuvim because they're talking about nicknamed Megillah. But you look at the Sechah Sofrim, there's nothing unique about Megillah's Esther. I'm not claiming the Sechah Sofrim forgot there's a whole Sechah Megillah. Of course, there's a lot unique about Megillah's Esther. But from the perspective of the etem chalos of laying it, there's nothing special about Megillah's Esther. This is the regular din of Talmud Torah Shechzav of laying Ksuvim. We lay Chumash, right? Fairly regularly. No good one 3 days now. We lay Navi every week, and on Chagim. And we lay Ksuvim once in a while. Nothing special. The only thing special about Megillas Esther is that we do it on Purim and not any other day. Right? We do it on Purim and the other books we say for Tisha B'Av and for Pesach and for Vichuli. But this is a regular din of Kriyas Ksuvim of Talmud Torah of learning Tanakh. The Rav also brings a raya, although this is not really a mukhrich raya, but it definitely works nicer than Yushalmi number 10. Everyone knows that this happened 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago, maybe? Fine, that Tesvav was on Shabbos? Okay. Tesvav was on Shabbos, and what did everyone in Yushalayim do? They didn't lay the Megillah on Shabbos. Why not, according to us Babylonians? Why didn't we lay the Megillah on Shabbos? Right, Zera D'Rabba, the same reason we don't shake a lulav on Shabbos and blow shofar on Shabbos. But of course, everyone knows this. You know this from Rosh Hashanah. You don't necessarily know this from Megillah. That the Yerushalmi doesn't hold of Zera D'Rabba, right? The Yerushalmi is famous for darshaning from the psukim that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi does not hold from this Zera that you might carry it. So why don't you lay Megillah on Shabbos? Shalmi says, no problem. Nachmi is the boy. Hagatma shulchan. Kli shodios for Shabbos. Number 10. Likos Megillah says, ain't I yachol? She ain't karmi because we're kodesh olmen and chomala. Because Chazal made Xerah Drabbanan, you're not allowed to link Ksuvim on Shabbos. Why do they make it very, very interesting? I don't know, on tape, I don't want to offend people who live this way, that way. That, you know, so please don't quote me as saying that Chazal made Xerah that you shouldn't link Ksuvim because they're really interesting stories and they would detract people from attending the Halacha Shir. They made Xerah not to link Ksuvim on Shabbos. So if there's Xerah against learning Ksuvim on Shabbos, then you can't link Megillas Esther. What are they going to say? Esther, isn't that a special thing? Isn't that a different Indian of pursuing Nisa? What does it do with Kriyas Ksuvim? So the Rebbe says, no, the Yerushalmi apparently thinks, like Masechah Sofrim, that, right, Masechah Sofrim represents a little later, it's a strolled document, how Yerushalmi represents a little earlier, that, against the Brisker Rav, that Mikra Megillah is just a specific example of learning Ksuvim, of the Talmud Torah, of laying Ksuvim. It's just a particular book of the Ksuvim that you're supposed to learn on a particular day. Therefore, again, the Sefer Sofer is this lumped together with all the other Ksuvim in terms of the halachas of how you lay in it. And Minigah, Prushim, and Eretz Yisrael, no different than Esther and the other Megillahs. And Yerushalmi, if Chazal said not to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos, then you can't lay Megillah on Shabbos either. Nothing special about Megillah. And he brought a knockdown raya. I wish I had time, but I'm already really walking a fine line in terms of my allotted time to go through the whole Shach of a target. It's obviously a very famous Mochamos parallel to this Kedusha Aran in number 11, which is against Rechaim Shidon Kriyas HaTorah, Bechuli. Okay, we'll have to save that for another time, but there's a famous Balamor in Mochamos on Megillah Daf Hei, when Rashi says you need a minion. The Balamor says, what are you talking about you need a minion? Can't be. Why? The Mishnah, anyone know how we know which things need a minion? Kol Torah Kula, how do we know what needs a minion? Mishnah Megillah Chav Gimel Beis. These are the things that need a minyan. Ein Parson Al Hashma Vinyorin Theateva, right, which probably means Kaddish and Chazar Sashat and Ein Korban Betorah Venavi Laning Hav Torah Birkas Avelim Birkas Chasanim Vechuli Vechuli, all the things that you need a minyan for. Doesn't list Megillah. So the Balamor says, you see, Megillah doesn't need a minyan because it's not, I mean, it even says Megillah, right? There's no excuse for leaving out Megillah. So must be Megillah doesn't need a minyan. Oh, what do you mean? Maybe that's just mitzvah amokha. Okay, there are bonus things. Answer there. Chiddush Rabban is a great answer. We'll just read the underline. Teida, delo tanino of masnisen desnan. Here he's echoing the Balamor's shot. Ein person al shmavi don't play a teva, etc. Mechtim sex Megillah kaiminon. Bo shalom, we're mitzvah Megillah. Ha'mayel chosh mikra Megillah. Ma'ilo masnimi le'em re'el nasi.
Right?
The Mishnah says, leaves out Megillah, says you don't need a minion for Megillah, so how could Rav Asi think you need a minion? The bottom word is Taina. So, I don't know who this is. Kasa Rabbeinu Shatz. Whoever Rabbeinu Shatz is, someone will look it up and tell me who this Rabbeinu Shatz is. Whoever he was, he had a great shot. Mipnei, she's there, Taina Rav Asi. Says this Mishnah is good for the Makar Rav Asi. The Amar Beim Bizmanim Mishlo Bizmanim Basara, who says you always need a minion, whether Bizmanim or Shlo Bizmanim. The Kasavar, the Bechlal Torah Venavi, who being Korn Ben Poch Masara. The Ainz Shachlat Sim, he says, this is easy. This is the easiest question I've ever answered. What do you mean, the Mishnah left out Megillah? So how can you say you need a minion? Adrab, the Mishnah didn't leave out Megillah. The Mishnah says you need a minion for Kriyas Torah and Kriyas Navi. So of course, who had been Kriyas Suf and Megillah? Why should Megillah be any different than Torah Venavi? The Mishnah didn't even have to bother to say Megillah because it's obvious that Megillah's Esther is no different than the rest of Tanakh. This Chiddush Ran is a myth foolish like the Rav. No two ways about it. Chiddush Ran says, how come if Rav Asi requires a minion from Megillah, doesn't say so in the Mishnah? So it does say so in the Mishnah. It says laning. Megillah's just laning. So the Chiddush Ran is mefurish. The Kiyum of Megillah is not a different Kiyum of for Shmei Nisav. I mean, obviously it has an element. A separate Kiyum. The myth of Megillah is just regular laning. Just if you said Tori Sinavi, you also need to tell us Megillah's Esther. We figure out on our own that laning needs a minion. There's a leader of Asmi, but we don't hold like him. That's not our point right now. So the Rav had all these rayas. What were the Rav's rayas? A, the Masechta Sofrim, which just included it together with all the other ksuvim. B, the Yerushalmi, says you can't lean it on Shabbos because it's just regular Pias ksuvim. And C, the best raya, the Chiddush Ran, says it's included Lefi Rav Asi, according to Rav Asi, who says you need a minion. It is in the Mishnah. It's included in laning. The Mishnah says laning needs a minion. This is just laning. It's another kind of learning Tanakh. It's another kind of laning. What does he do with? Here we're going to have to do the katzer a little. What does he do with all the brisk rows riots? So again, he doesn't go through them, but there's many ways to get out of many of these riots. So I'll just perhaps mention briefly some of the more interesting and relevant ones. Shmuel, not a good raya. Because he would say, that's exactly why we don't hold like Shmuel. And if not, Shmuel says it's not Tanakh, and the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is a separate mitzvah, it's just a chetzah for Shmuel Nisa, a story. He says, but we don't hold like Shmuel. This is what Rav Lechazit say. Shmuel makes two assumptions. Number one, that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah has nothing to do with being Tanakh. Number two, that it's not part of Tanakh. So which assumption do we argue on? Briska Rav assumes, well, we argue on the second, it's part of Tanakh, but still the mitzvah is separate. The Rav says, no, we argue on the first assumption. You think it's not part of Tanakh, and the mitzvah Mikra Megillah is a different mitzvah? No, we say that it is part of Tanakh, but Haraya, the mitzvah Mikra Megillah is just learning Tanakh. So that's, and if Shmuel, of course the Briska Rav is right. But we don't hold like Shmuel. What about the fact that the Rambam didn't say you have to write it with the proper tzura to be Yotzei Mikra Megillah? So the answer is that because it's obvious, he says, no, you're wrong. You're wrong, Mr. Briskerov. Rabbi Briskerov. You do need that Megillah be written properly with Kedusha, with Tumas Yadayim, with the Sersni Haman, with all the details for Yotze. It needs to be a Chetz of Kisvei HaKodesh for Yotze. It needs to be a Chetz of Tanakh. Oh, why didn't the Rambam write that? Because the Rambam knew you had the Aleph Codex, whatever it was, and you knew how to write the Tanakh. He didn't have to, why didn't he write every word of Megillah? Oh, you have to put in all the words. Why didn't he write every word of Megillah and Hilchos Megillah? Because he knows that we have a Megillah and we'll copy off the previous one. He doesn't have to tell us every detail. That's, why in Sefer Torah, Hilchos Sefer Torah? Hilchos Mezuzah. Why didn't he write every single word of Kriya Shema? In case we don't know. Because we do know. We'll look at the Tanakh. The Rambam writes Mefurish, right? Then in the beginning of Mishnah Torah, that if you have a Tanakh and a Mishnah Torah, you'll be able to know all the halachas. So we have a Tanakh. So he doesn't have to be redundant. So that's not a good proof. What about the Ibud Lashma? This already gets into a whole sugya in and of itself, but suffice it to say that the Rub would say that all Kisvei HaKodesh don't need Ibud Lashma. There's nothing unique about Megillah. All Kisvei HaKodesh don't need Ibud Lashma. Oh, Mezuzah, nothing need Ibud Lashma. And he gets into a whole lumnus here, which I'm not going to get into, but the Brisk Rav assumed that the other 23 Svarim need Ibud Lashma. Why does Megillah not? Must be, because it's a different din having nothing to do with Kisvei HaKodesh. The Rav says no. Megillah isn't the din of Kisvei HaKodesh. Why doesn't he need Ibud Lashma? Because all Sifrei Tanakh don't need Ibud Lashma, or at least, I should say better, all Sifrei Tanakh don't need Ibud Lashma. And that's, again, the right back and forth. We're not going to get into now. This is a very fascinating one. And someone may be able to tell me from contemporary practice based on a Magen Avraham, Shilta Giborim, which is actually on the Makoros sheet here somewhere, how we would get out of this raya. There are different ways. Shemar brings up different ways to get out of this raya. Again, the raya was, why isn't it obvious if the Rav is right, if the mitzvah maker Gil is to read Kisvei HaKodesh, why is it obvious that you need Sefer Udio? So, what's the answer? Exactly! Kisvei HaKodesh don't need Sefer Udio. That is the famous Shita of the Shilta Giborim. Why did the Magen Avraham make the Shilta Giborim famous? Anyone know why this is a famous Shilta Giborim? I'm not saying this is the only answer, but this is the only very, very fascinating, relevant halachah maisa famous answer. The Shilta Giborim deduces from here, Shilta Giborim in number 18, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Rin Lech Tevish Shar Min Eitzvah Amam Eskayim Ingon Sam Vesefer Yos Vehem Matzil Osam Vnead Leika, etc. Af Mishuk Tzum Sam Vesefer Chot Vesef Tor Megillas Esther, which needs Sefer Udio. So the Shilta Giborim deducing this, Taka, Esther is Kisvei HaKodesh, why do you need a special marker for Sefer Udio? It must be that the other 17 books of Nach don't need Sefer Udio. This is, you ever, source of what minhag? Of the Haftorah minhag. Some people are makbid. It's mutter to lean a Haftorah from just a Haftorah book. Although the Rav said maybe our Haftorah books are worse than Chazal's Haftorah. Okay, but the people who are really, really mahadrim have mamash a full plot for Sefer Torah because it's proper, ideally, mitzvah of Moshe to lean it from a Sefer. But in many shuls, what do? They have like a whole Tanakh or a whole Sefer instead of that Torah book. They lean it from a Sefer. Why did they get the idea that's better? Magen Avraham, quoting this Shilta Giborim, says, we can deduce from here that Megillah's Esther needs Sefer Udio, but Yeshaya and Yechezkel and Yeriah don't need Sefer Udio. Therefore, even if it's on paper, and even if the ink would not count as Udio, if our ink doesn't count as Udio, you can still be Yotzei, and that's considered a full Kedushas Tomas Yodayim Sefer of Nach. That's why somebody linked this Pshara to Lane from a current Tanakh or from some other similar thing. As you can imagine, there's many more debates. Just because it doesn't need Sefer Udio, who says it's allowed to be a codex instead of a scroll? Right? Maybe it needs Galila, who says it's allowed to be random access? Okay, that's its own inyan. The Ein Kam Makom Leharich. There's other answers as well. The last one. Someone want to follow in the pattern we've been saying until now. The Kasha is, how could this get a little tricky, but, or maybe we won't even go so far. If Laz, it's Mefurish Gemara and Megillah, that Laz is no Kedusha, not Matamis Yadayim, so how can it be Yotzei with it? So, the actual is very interesting marker, which we can't get into now, which is marker number 15, where the Ravid says that all Kisvei HaKodesh are meant to be written in Laz, and they do have Kedusha. But that's even a better answer here, as you could say, like the Ramban and the Ritva. The Ramban, there's a machlokas between what the Rishon Masum Rashi means, and the Ramban and the Ritva and others. I think the Ramban and the Ritva is even on the sheet. In number 16, what are the laws of those balaz? Rashi sounds like if you understand English, you can lean in English. Do we paskin that way? Anyone want to be very precise and logical? Is it true if you understand English, you can lean in English? Or should we say better? if you understand English and don't understand Hebrew, you can learn in English. That's the Ramban and the Ritva. The Ramban and the Ritva says, no way! You can only be Yotzei in Laz if you don't understand Hebrew. You know why? Because it's just a kula for Shas Havchak. It's not that you can really be Yotzei Megillas Esther the right way Belaz. No, according to the Rav, you can't. According to the Rav, Belaz, it's not Kisvei HaKodesh. So how can you be Yotzei Mikra Megillah if it's not Kisvei HaKodesh? If you're not really learning the book of Tanakh? The answer is you can't really be Yotzei, but Midrabanan, they made a kula for Shas Havchak. If Taka, no one knows Hebrew. Right, you're in a very uneducated community, someplace in the middle of Russia, where they all know Russian, but they don't know Hebrew. So what are they going to do, Nebuch? They don't know where to Hebrew, what are they going to do? So Nebuch, we let them lean around. Oh, it's not the real full mitzvah. Okay, what can they do? B'shas al-chak, better than nothing. So there's a way out of that. Again, many more interesting things to say. V'chuli. That's the basic machlokas. Now, we have to tie it up to where we began. Now, let me just ask you a simple thing. When the Rav says, all we need is three more steps, take it one more step. Let's answer one of our questions. And the Rav says it's brilliant. This is such a question. It's like, you either have fun to answer the question, or you say that the Beis Yosef and the Yochai and the Ramah didn't know how to learn. It's impossible. So all they say, Taka and the Kasha from here and there, they quote a Yerushalmi that doesn't say it. It can't be, right? It just can't be. If the Beis Yosef goes to Yochai Chaim, go to Yerushalmi, the Ramah passes it, then it has to be. It has to be at least a possible shot, at least one way of learning Yerushalmi. Can't be, they just didn't know how to read Yerushalmi. So, what's shot? So, once you say the Rav, it's the most obvious thing in the world. What was the Groz Taina against the Yochai Chaim, against the Beis Yosef, against the Ramah? It says, the Yerushalmi never said you need a minion for Bracha Achron on Megillah. Just for Bracha Achron laning. So what do the Yochai Chaim and the Beis Yosef and the Ramah say back? They'll say, we know the Yerushalmi just meant laning. But we're like the Chiddush Aran. Whatever's true of laning is true of Mikra Megillah, because Mikra Megillah is just another kind of laning. It's not that we don't know how to read Yerushalmi. It's that we know how to read Yerushalmi. We're Chacham and Nevonim. We read the Yerushalmi and we apply it to whatever's comparable and it should be applied to. So therefore, it's the only way out of the Groz Kasha. Otherwise, you're just stuck. Otherwise, I don't know how you can celebrate Purim without this answer. The Groz says it was only talking about laning, not Mikra Megillah. So the Rav says, Ana Hanami was only talking about laning, not Mikra Megillah. But whatever's true for laning, it's before Kiddush Aran. Whatever's true for laning is true for Mikra Megillah. Just like laning, if you lane B'yachid, it's Talmud Torah, and you make a bracha beforehand. But if you lane B'tzibur, it's Talmud Torah B'rabin, and it's a higher Madrega, and you make a bracha before and after. So to Mikra Megillah, if you lane B'yachid, that's Kriyas Suvin, Talmud Torah, and you make a bracha beforehand. But if you lane B'rabin, then it becomes laning, not just learning. Becomes laning. It becomes Talmud Torah Bechsad Shebechsad Barabim. Talmud Torah Shebechsad Barabim gets a bracha beforehand and after. Right? If you lay Chumash Barabim, you make a bracha beforehand, then Asher Nelson Lantar Sevis afterwards. If you lay Navi Barabim, you make a bracha beforehand, you make a whole set of brachas afterwards. If you lay Ksuvim Barabim, you make a bracha beforehand, and you make a bracha afterwards. Now the Rishali's Kafter and Farach, it's beautiful. We've solved one of our questions. To solve the next question, we just have to make things more complicated. The Rav keeps saying, like, Mikra Megillah is just, it's a kind of Talmud Torah, it's learning Tzuvim. Oh, we know what Mikra Megillah is. What is Mikra Megillah? Every child of three knows this. Mikra Megillah about learning Torah? It's about? Pursuing Nisa. So the Rav forgot about pursuing Nisa? So the Rav says, no, you look in the Gemara in number 13, just the last few words, to be Yotzei, what do you need? We're not going into the Gemara there. Mitzvahs Kriya Pursuing Nisa, Hachanami Mitzvahs Kriya Pursuing Nisa. The Gemara says, what do you need to be Yotzei? You need mitzvahs, kriya, and pursuing Nisa. It's a striking Gemara. It's almost like Rav Chaim writing in Gemara. You need mitzvahs, kriya, and pursuing Nisa. What does that mean? So you can imagine many pshat and what that means. But pashup pshat, what does it mean? It means there's two aspects to Mikra Megillah. Mitzvahs, kriya, and pursuing Nisa. And that's exactly what the Rav says. The Rav says, really, there are two aspects to Mikra Megillah. There's mitzvahs, kriya, which means Kisvei HaKodesh Kriyas Ksuvim, a type of Talmud Torah, and Pursumei Nisa. The Rav says, it's not that I don't think it's Pursumei Nisa, it's that I think there's a double Kiyam in Megillah. On the one hand, it's Mitzvahs Kriya, it has to be Mekoyim through laning a Chet of Kisvei HaKodesh and Talmud Torah. It's of course also through that you do Pershimini. So now with Sveidinim, you can understand something very fascinating. Sveidinim, can you think of anyone, maybe even someone you know, who might not be shy after both of those dinim, but only to one of them? What can you do? Okay. But do you know anyone who might be shy after only one of these two dinim and not the other? Someone who's pater from Talmud Torah, like women. Everyone knows the famous Bahag. We're not going to read it inside, but it's number 19. What did the Bahag say? Women can't be multi men in Megillah. Why? Because women are only chayav in Shmiya, and men are chayav in Kriya. Where does he get that from? Hold on a second. It's a Gemara. Mitzvah's Kriya or Pursumi Nisa. How do you do Pursumi Nisa? By hearing the story. How do you do Mitzvah's Kriya, Talmud Torah? By Kriya Satorah. So this is probably shot in the Bahag. I'm not the first one who thought this was shot in the Bahag. Neither was the Rav. According to the Magen Avraham, he was, because the Magen Avraham understood the Smag differently. But Pashup Shat, the Smag understood this. The Smag says in number 20, I'll just read this one line out of this for you. It says, don't ask me why a woman can't be multi man. The Shani Mikra Megillah, last line, Shukamot Kriyas HaTorah. You know why a woman can't be multi man? Because it's like Kriyas HaTorah. And I mean, the Magen Avraham says, he meant, covered at Seber, but Pashup Shat, no, he meant something wrong. If you tie back to the Lashon of the Bahag, then it's clear what he meant. He meant mitzvahs kriya like kriyas haTorah. What did the Bahag say al pi the smag? The Bahag says, beautiful. If we've learned that Megillas Esther is all about kriyas ksuvim and Talmud Torah and Kisvei HaKodesh, but yet it's also for Sumenisa, then beautiful. Women are potter from the Talmud Torah aspect, because they're potter from Talmud Torah, but they're kind of in Pursuma Nisa, because Afayahoyibo Sonesa has nothing to do with Torah, it has to do with Pursuma Nisa. It works beautifully. And that's why women can't be multi man, because they're kind of in Shmiya. They can be multi me, my wife can be multi me in the Pursuma Nisa aspect, but I only be half Yotze. She can't be multi me in the Talmud Torah aspect. Now we can answer the second question we started with. Why is it the minhag of women, if it is, in fact, reported by Lichot Bas Yisro, what's our minhag in the Bris Kol, right, Miller? Do the women say Rav Yudenu? They do. Okay, what can you do? So, at least the Halichos Bas Yisrael's women. Why was it there? Why would some women have the minhag not to say a bracha afterwards? Now it fits beautifully. If the bracha afterwards, but Sibur, is not because of the Pursumi Nisa like the Aruch HaShulchan says. Aren't women who like most poskim Pursumi Nisa? But if you say the bracha afterwards, based on the Yerushalmi and answering the brother's kashas, not for Pursumi Nisa. The bracha afterwards, because the laning aspect. Then it's pasha. 10 women, if they don't do kriyas haTorah, 10 women don't count the minion for laning. And it's not to big for Sumi Yisa. But women can't count as a minion for laning. Therefore, kafter aferach, for that minion, we now have a hezbur. Why would the minion be wherever the Halichos Bas Yisrael lived? Which is not by Zgai. We follow Sumi Pesach Frankir, I guess. But Yerushalayim. But where he lived, why did the minhag be that women didn't say Rosh Yudenu? Because if women are davka potter from the Talmud Torah aspect, and if Rosh Yudenu davka comes from the laning aspect, which is davka women are potter from, kafter aferach, how to justify that minhag. Ad kan, the yesodos of Mikra Megillah. I would just point out that on the more drush, shkafik, whatever we want to call it, it's fascinating that we have here an interplay and a tension between two perspectives on what Mikra Megillah and Purim is all about. Is it just Pursumei Nisa, about the story, the nace, about our seeing Hashem's hand in history? Or is it about Talmud Torah? It's about the intellectual contemplation, the understanding, and the learning of Inyanei Purim, and what we can learn from this, and the stories of Tanakh about this. Is it an intellectual kiyum? Or is it just a celebration of historical events? And Lamaisa, the Rav says, both are true, that there's not everything in life is intellectual. Not everything in life is Talmud Torah, even for briskers. There's integrity for Pursumei Nisa, qua Pursumei Nisa. And women are guilty that way. But as well, there's an aspect of Talmud Torah, and that works very nicely for this story in the first place. Vayava amalek, vaylachim shol berfidim, chazal darshin, al shirofu yedehem min haTorah. Apparently there's some weakness of Talmud Torah. On the one hand, Pursumei Nisa, we remember the names, we remember Hashem's always there for Klal Yisrael, no matter what. We're Klal Yisrael, right? We live here. You go to down the block to the Knesset, you see all kinds of people who are not so Ozek and Talmud Torah, but we're all one Klal Yisrael, and we know that Hashem gets involved in our history and saves us from our enemies, and Adayom HaZeh, B'chol Dover Dor Omlein L'Chaloseinu, we give Shevach Vodah to Hashem, that He saves us. That's history. But we also know there's something beneath history. There's something which underlies the history, which is that ultimately these sorrows are caused by Rafi Dei Min HaTorah. Chazal tell us it's not about Haman, it's not about Mordechai, it's not about bowing down, and it's not about geopolitics. It's about Nen and Misadash Lachas Pharaohs. It's about leaving the Torah. And the tikkun for that is Kimu Vekiblu Shavuos, is the new Chag after Shavuos. Sorry, Purim is the Chag of Kabbalah HaTorah. The tikkun for that is the Kabbalah HaTorah and rededication, not only to keeping the Torah and living a Torah lifestyle, but Kimu Vekiblu to the Chetz Shel Torah Shebechsav itself. And therefore, in Purim, we celebrate number one, there's a historic relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and that is true in and of itself. But number two, underlying that is the theme of Talmud Torah, that Rith Yon Yedeim in a Torah leads, unfortunately, to these dangers. But if Himu V'Kiblum, we rededicate ourselves to the Chetz of Kisvei HaKodesh of Torah, and therefore ensure that Do B'Chol Dor V'Dor L'Lin L'Kaloseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always continue to be Matzileinu Mi Yadam. A Freilich and Purim. The Rav does make the bridge to the bracha. I think the Rav does.
I actually Xeroxed it.
I'm trying to remember. It's very hard because, like, before Harry Kedron, you come before Columbus and then it's all there. You know, it's like it's not even a point saying Columbus anymore. And then it's probably there. Let's see.